Welcome to the broadcast.
Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the house. Your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the trees. Stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock hour, our outdoor living hour, the second Saturday of the month. So that means we are talking trees, and we've got arborist in from Save a Tree and our home maintenance calendar. You may be expecting to hear about the pink trumpet tree, but we had moved that to March because it was in bloom and it was a better time for people to go see it. So the tree of the month this month is the aspen, and there's a very specific reason why we put the aspen in there. We've got Gary Peterson, branch manager of Save a Tree, along with another special guest. You know, Gary, I'll let you introduce Jordan.
Tell you what, we got a very special guest today. This gentleman is a 26-year veteran to the industry. For the last 12 years, he's been a member of the Save a Tree service line director team, which oversees the operational functions of Save a Tree. He's a graduate of Western Illinois University with a degree in agriculture science with a minor in urban forestry. Jordan Orwick, thanks for being here today, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
And when we say being here, I mean, you're in from Wisconsin.
I am. It's quite the weather change. I'm enjoying it quite a bit this week. Typically, they like to send me in July, August. So
you want to know something funny? In our CRM database that we have of homeowners that have second homes, Wisconsin's the number one state with second homes of our listening audience.
Really? I would have never guessed that.
It's a beautiful area for about 3 months out of the year.
You didn't bring any cheese curls, did you?
Oh, I could have.
Next time.
But you're familiar with this nasty little thing called an oyster shell?
Yeah, that's correct. This has become somewhat of a new pest for you folks out here in the Southwest. Something we've been dealing with on the East Coast and in the Midwest both for a number of years. Fairly common insect. It is a scale insect, which kind of is where I want to start with this. And really, from a green industry or horticultural standpoint, a lot of times these insects that are in the scale category, this type of insect, a lot of times it's considered a very difficult insect to control. And, today I want to talk a little bit about the life cycle of that and, really give some people a little bit of knowledge about that life cycle, which is very critical when we then look at controlling or reducing the impact of this pest.
And this pest is common or showing up on our aspen trees. And a couple years ago, we had a broadcast about the bark beetles for ponderosa pine. Well, this is something else for our Flagstaff affiliates or anyone in Phoenix and Tucson with mountain homes or property in the high mountains where they may have an aspen grove on their property, something that you can be checking for and inspecting when you're up visiting your mountain home, which many of us that are fortunate enough to have mountain homes will be doing here in about another 2 or 3 months.
I'd say 60 days.
Yeah.
It's getting fairly warm now.
Yeah, I think one thing I find that is very similar to this insect when comparing to like the mountain pine beetle that we saw in the pine trees, especially across Colorado, is a lot of times we don't really notice that there's an issue until the issue has gotten rather severe. This kind of pest a lot of times does a lot of its damage. And the tree responds perfectly fine up until a certain point where it can't maintain anymore. And unfortunately, a lot of times when we as arborists get to the state of the plant, infestations are pretty severe and we've got a pretty good challenge ahead of us.
And what is that challenge? And you said you've been dealing with it in the other parts of the country, this insect. How do we nuke them?
So the biggest challenge here and why this insect a lot of time gets a reputation of being difficult to control is a majority of its life stage, it is pretty well protected with a waxy coating that really makes it hard for us to get some of our contact pesticides really where they need to be to then control the insect. So, really the key to understanding and controlling this insect is to target the generation where the eggs of the insect hatch, and these nymphs or crawlers begin to emerge and then restart the process. And because, you know, this process doesn't exactly all happen at the same time, it's somewhat staggered, we have to then be prepared and work within that window to target that life cycle. If we go after the life cycle too early, we risk being too premature and then not having the effective residual of the product there to actually control the pest. If we're too late, that insect may be protected by this waxy coating. Therefore, it's not really going to get an appropriate dose of the material we need to control it. Fortunately, with agriculture technology over the last 30, 40 years, we have gained some materials in our toolbox, if you will, where we can actually be very effective at treating this insect, expand our window of opportunity, and really have a low environmental impact outside of the target that we're aiming for. Going back to the insect in itself is not that hard to kill or control. But there's a lot of science behind the process of getting that timing correct.
The timing sounds extremely critical. I mean, what's the life cycle? Do these bugs live a year, 2 years?
Yeah, an oyster shell scale, as far as I know, in every market in North America, produces one generation per year.
And your best window for success is in the early stages, but it can't be too early.
Correct.
And it can't be too late. So something only lives a year. This time of chemical application, that's like a 3 to 5 week window, maybe?
That might be stretching it a little bit, actually.
Wow.
That's pretty precise.
Yeah, it's, generally speaking, when we see a life cycle window, we can anticipate having 4 to 6 weeks opportunity to be effective with our treatments. This is a situation too, and a lot of times where we actually get to the site, it's compounded so much and there's such a high population of insects on the tree. Your rate of essentially egg hatch can be very variable. It could be a matter of, 10 to 14 days apart in some instances. Fortunately, we have some great science behind this. Unfortunately, we haven't figured out how to get all these insects to read the book. So we're still trying to stay ahead of the game here, and again, good integrated pest management practices, understanding the life cycle of the insect, understanding what the plant's going to do, how it's going to respond, and being able to anticipate that timing, and then use a specific material that is going to give us a little broad spectrum residual and allow us to really have that tree protected and controlled through that life cycle.
What are you looking for? How do you identify it? I'm walking through to my cabin, and I'm surrounded by these trees. What's going to set my eye off to say, hey, I might have a problem with this?
So, ironically enough, in aspens, typically what people will notice is the bark of the tree starts looking different. And what's looking different on the bark of the tree are actually those adult female insects. The oyster shell scale gets its name because of its resemblance to an oyster. Okay. So if you are to go on the internet, look these up, look at a picture of them, it's really amazing how much they do resemble oysters. And with this particular insect, as the populations increase, they actually will multiply, and you'll see these scales on top of each other to the point where it almost looks like the actual bark of the tree.
Wow.
So
now it looks like them size wise though, they're not as big.
3 to 4 millimeters.
Yeah.
Very small. Yeah. And that's why they become so difficult in the early stages to detect, because they typically are going to like some of the younger, more tender tissue where they can insert their mouth parts into the branch of the tree, and then they feed by pulling the water and nutrients out of the tree. So they tend to stay up in some of that more juvenile bark at first, and as the populations increase, that's when you tend to see them more start to congregate and build up around the bark and on the main stems of the trees. And usually by the time it gets to that point where it's that visibly noticeable, you're at a very, very severe infestation level. and you're probably along that going to start seeing some physiological changes in the tree. You know, we have a saying in Save a Tree that, you know, we don't feed trees. Trees essentially are autotrophs. They feed themselves. So what we're doing is we're providing a food source for them. And with this insect, this food source that the tree is producing for itself is being consumed at a pretty rapid pace by this insect. And the results will be typical to, a lot of diseases that are or insects that are going to be limiting that carbohydrate content inside the trees. So symptomatically, you'll start to see your new tips of your branches start to grow back. You're going to see reduced growth intervals. The tree's not going to be as vigorous as it normally would be. Severe infestations can exhaust the tree's resources to the point where it is killed. So, fortunately this process will take oftentimes 3, 4, or 5 years of infestation, repeated damage. Trees are very resilient organisms, and there's a certain amount of natural defense it will put out and maintain until it just becomes too much, and essentially the tree will fail. With aspen trees, fortunately though, they do have the ability to coppice back up and grow a new tree. So there is that advantage here, most of us don't have that kind of time to wait.
No, that's true. We've got Jordan Orwig and Gary Peterson and from Save a Tree, Talking Trees, the tree of the month. We changed to the aspen just because we felt it was important for anyone in Arizona that owns aspen tree or properties with aspen trees on it to be aware of this oyster shell and to start keeping an eye out for it. More Talking Trees right after this.